Hello and good morning or evening, friends. Coming to you from WRAQ 92.7 FM Angelica, my name is Emily and you're listening to Synchrony, where I hope you'll join me on an introspective passageway through the melodious philosophical dream road that is the music of the 20th century, which is essentially just a fancy way of saying that this will be a show about music and people and life here on our mysterious planet Earth. But as our first order of business, let us consult the experts, shall we? This is Stevie Wonder with Love's in Need of Love Today, the opening track from his 1976 essential album, Songs in the Key of Life, and a song as relevant presently as it was when it was written. Okay, Stevie, we're ready. Tell us how it is.
Good morning or evening, friends. Here's your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. It's that love in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away.
Breaking rain.
That, my fellow miraculous Homo sapiens, was the often imitated, never duplicated Mr. Stevie Wonder with Love's in Need of Love Today. And it's a perfect place to start on a show which, as I said, is about music and life and people. So, what do I mean when I say that? Well, I'm talking about the artists of the 20th century and the lives that they led and how they run parallel to the lives we're leading today. And I mean, think about the people I'm talking about here. People like Stevie Wonder, like Little Richard, like Lester Young, like Buddy Holly, Michael Jackson, Chet Baker, Ray Charles, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson, Ella Fitzgerald, Nat King Cole, Sonny Rollins, Curtis Mayfield, Harry Nilsson, Janis Joplin, Dinah Washington, Thelonious Monk, Brian Wilson, Leonard Cohen, Marvin Gaye, Patsy Cline, Fats Waller, Joni Mitchell. I mean, I could go on. I'm barely even scratching the surface. And it's not even mentioning the lives of the countless number of musicians, composers, songwriters, and lyricists who are lesser known to the general public, perhaps, but who are, in their own right, no less talented, dedicated, or as important to the music. People like Percy Mayfield, like Teddy Wilson, Bob Cranshaw, Mose Allison, Hampton Hawes, Phil Woods, Ira Sullivan, Sammy Kahn, and the people in the band, as you might say. There are probably thousands of them. And though the retrospective veil of history may incidentally cause us to see these artists as almost legends or idols in the context of celebrity and iconship, what have you, the truth is, they were just people, just like us. And here on Synchrony, what I invite you to do is to zoom out and to pretend you're an alien or a creature from one of the gazillion other galaxies that surround us. When I do that, it makes me wonder what they'd think of these songs, of these things we call songs, these sounds. You know, I can't help but imagine that if they could somehow process this stimuli and the meaning in it, they'd like us. And when I look at it like that, I like us too. Because that's what we are, beyond any organization, big or small. We're an us. Just a biological speculation, sitting here vibrating, and we don't know what we're vibrating about. This is Funkadelic.
Yeah.
That was Funkadelic with Biological Speculation, an absolutely astute marriage of funk and philosophy, if I do say so myself. So, y'all see my point? As George Clinton might say, we're all human. No matter who you are, you have one of the most complex machines in nature sitting on top of your neck, which is beautiful, but also quite the philosophical conundrum, right? A conundrum that has perplexed us since Plato pondered the nature of morality, our claim to fame, self-awareness, for all its beauty and its messiness. And there are constants in human nature that have run through time since we decided to name it time. And I think that one of the reasons that the music of the 20th century is so important is that when taken as a whole, in other words, when stripped of the parameters of musical genre, as the aliens would most likely approach it, it is essentially just a detailed account of us trying to figure out the nature of our humanity. And when you think about it, it wasn't until the birth of the 3 to 7 minute pop song, and I'm including the jazz standard and the early show tune within this definition of pop song, that people, that human beings, gained the ability to put that human experience into such detailed, but distilled and easily digestible form. And on a certain level, I think because of this circumstance of being born in sync with the unfolding evolution of the modern popular song, you know, the newness of it all, these musicians found themselves in a category of their own in society. They were an assemblage of men and women who floated on the edges of convention, but proudly and classily and in a much cooler way than even money could buy. For a brief point in time, the musicians were like cultural superheroes. And it's easy to forget, but before our culture got too deeply mired into materialism, the value that was placed on having access to creativity, to the muse, so to speak, was up there with having deep pockets. It was something that held tremendous value and could not be bought. And the musicians I'm talking about had the muse on speed dial. So they were superhero cool. But instead of being physically strong or impressively aggressive, they were exploring being human. They were poets of melody, and they sure were. Don't believe me? Here's an example. This is the mellifluous Louise Bonfa with Perdido de Amor, Lost in Love.
Perdido de amor, perdido estou por você. Amar seu olhar, seus lábios beijar é viver. À luz do luar, eu fico a pensar em você. Um verso que diz: serei tão feliz com você. Perdido de amor, perdido estou por você. Seu beijo sensual, carícia ideal, não posso esquecer. E vivo a sonhar, seu nome a chamar, só penso em você. Perdido de amor, perdido estou por você. Thank you. perdido de amor, perdido estou por você. Seu beijo sensual, carícia ideal, não posso esquecer e vivo a sonhar. Seu nome a chamar, só penso em você. Perdido de amor, perdido estou por você.
Luis Bonfa with Perdido de Amor from his 1959 Solo in Rio album. And yes, I realize that that song was in Brazilian Portuguese, but that's my point. That's what I mean when I say poets of melody. You don't have to speak Brazilian Portuguese to understand the sentiment of lost love when you listen to that song, because the melody tells you. And of course, Bonfa was famous for having written the score for the movie Black Orpheus, but I found this album actually in a record store at a tender age when one of my first loves, who was working at the record store at the time, and I were hanging out, and a man came in and asked my ex directly, "Do you have any amazing Brazilian guitar that I could listen to?" And my ex said, "You know, we had some yesterday, but I think someone bought it all. I'm so sorry, man." And the guy left disappointed, and then my ex just very gracefully slid across the counter this very album, Solo in Rio 1959, which went on to become one of my favorite albums, not just Brazilian guitar albums, but albums of all time. And Luis Bonfa became one of my favorite guitarists and composers of all time. So there you go. You never know when your life's about to change. Anyway, as I was saying, the songs I hope to play on this show, they meet two criteria. Firstly, they represent capital U, us as a whole. And secondly, they showcase the exceptional access that the artists of the mid-20th century seem to have had to creativity. But why this exceptional access? Well, my hypothesis is partly that it's because they were allowed to be dramatic. And I'm being facetious, but I mean, think about it. Like I said, there was a fairly popularized societal idea of what it meant to be an artist, and this often involved being, or seeming, at least, larger than life. And while the rest of the world went to work, punched in, punched out, fulfilled their obligations, artists were out there, on the road, traveling, soaking up life. And they were often temperamental and unpredictable. And the world encouraged this flair for the dramatic because it makes for interesting heroes, but it also makes for interesting characters. People who dig deep into themselves, people who get into that murky mud of life and report back to the group. They lived in a world that encouraged self-exploration, and in return, it was their job to be full-time vessels, as many artists see themselves still today. Full-time vessels and full-time humans, that was it. But I think that this nurturing of a creative existence acted as a kind of positive feedback loop that did indeed help to facilitate their vesselship. So as a result, these musicians got to a kind of spiritual plane with the music, and everything they did in life was reflected into the music, and everything they did in the music was reflected back into their lives. Not to say that this exchange between muse and musician no longer occurs, it just seems like it happened in a kind of concentrated fashion that's quite mysterious in the 20th century. And it does also seem, for the most part, that it's an era that has come and gone, as eras tend to do. I mean, let's be honest, no one is quite as smooth as Otis Redding anymore, or as real and as raw as Billie Holiday, or as sophisticated as Duke Ellington. They just don't seem to make them like that anymore. And yeah, that's kind of sad to think about. But whether we like it or not, the beat goes on, as is exemplified in this next tune. This is Buddy Rich, one of the great drummers and bandleaders of the 20th century, playing at the Shea Club in 1967 with his orchestra and his 12-year-old daughter, Kathy. This is The Beat Goes On.
My daughter's with me tonight. She's going to get up and sing The Beat Goes On. And this is her first time in front of an audience. Number one, she's 12 and a half years old, and she's drunk. Immediately, that makes it kind of tough. This is our daughter, Kathy, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Yay! Now, you all right? You gonna do it? Beautiful.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-di-da-di-dee, la-di-da-di-da. Charleston was once the rage, History has banned that stage, The mini skirts, the current thing, Teeny bopper is our newborn king, And the beat goes on, the beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-di-da-di-dee, la-di-da-di-da. Grocery stores are supermarket. Little girls still break their hearts, Men still keep on marching off to war. Electrically they keep their baseball score. And the beat goes on. The beat goes on. Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. Da-da-da.
That was the Buddy Rich Orchestra with The Beat Goes On, written by Sonny Bono of Sonny and Cher fame, who had a hit with this song that same year, 1967. But man, I just love Kathy's performance so much. It's so good. Ugh, just the straightforward confidence of her performance. I mean, picture your favorite 12-year-old, or picture yourself at 12 singing in this context at the Shea Club in Hollywood. Just what that experience must have been like. And 12 is like right at that age where you're staring down the barrel of puberty. And pre-puberty is almost like pre-Apple Eden in some ways, just in that we are so thoroughly and intuitively present in ourselves in childhood. And I just think her performance is such an excellent example of that. You can hear every ounce of naivety and hope and uncertainty about what the future holds. What I'm saying is, may we all face the pounding rhythm of the drum of change as bravely and clearly as Kathy singing with her dad and his band in 1967. Also, I love a kid singing about a shifting collective consciousness. I mean, that's essentially what the song's about, right? Charleston was once the rage, uh-huh. History has banned that stage, uh-huh. Heartbreak, war, technological development, sports, fashion, they're all in there. The drums just keep a pounding a rhythm to the brain. La-di-da-di-dee, la-di-da-di-da. It seems that change is, and always has been, a constant. But yeah, it is sad that they don't make them like that anymore. Same as cars, same as buildings, same as portable boomboxes from the 90s. Fortunately, just as musicians hardly ever retire, in the music that has been left behind for us, within the content and the style of these songs, there's a profound resonance that echoes, and truly all the nuanced evidence of the depth and the soulfulness of these artists, as they, ultimately just examples of capital U.S., walked this planet, lies immortally exposed for anyone who cares to listen, people in 300 years and aliens included. And if you do care to listen, you'll notice there are lessons to be learned. These were people, after all, who often lived hard and learned things the hard way. So here on Synchrony, that's exactly what we'll be doing, really listening. So not only will we enjoy the jams to our heart's content, but we'll commiserate, laugh at ourselves, and maybe even soak up some of these lessons, easing our minds and saving ourselves some precious time and trouble. Case in point, here is one of our great philosophers, Nina Simone, teaching a lesson I had to learn all too recently, one that I'm still learning. One that it seems that we all find ourselves faced with, to some degree, grappling with, at some point over the course of our lives. I am indeed referring to the all-too-common phenomenon of heartbreak. And this was one of those songs that I could really hear the second that I heard it, because it was a lesson that I was very much in the process of learning on my own, and there I am just in the kitchen one night, and Nina comes on the speakers delivering the exact information that I needed at that moment. And the way she announces it, just in such a firm and measured but non-judgmental and almost objective way, like almost like she's reading you a recipe, I mean, you just know it's firsthand information. And every lyric unfolds. Just as in the same way that every truth that she's speaking and every single line seems to unfold along the path of life. And the other thing that's great about this recording is that it's almost perfect, but it's like God's sense of humor saying that perfection isn't possible or something, because at the very beginning, you'll hear her face is turned away from the microphone, or the mixing levels were weird at the venue or something. So you can barely hear the first, they're almost inaudible, the first two lines. And then it's perfection afterwards. So, may this next song heal whatever part of your heart may be feeling broken right now and teach you something that you might not have even known you needed to learn. This is Nina Simone with the newly released You've Got to Learn, live at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1966. Thank you.
doesn't show a trace of sadness. And above all, don't look for sympathy. You've got to learn, although it's very hard, the way of pocketing your pride. Sometimes face humiliation while you were burning up inside. Facing reality is often hard to do when it seems happiness is gone. Got to learn to hide your tears, child. Tell your soul that life must go on. You've got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. Show everybody that you're able to leave without saying a word. You've got to learn to hide your sorrows. Go on living just as before. Of thinking of tomorrow. Who knows what it may have in store? You've got to learn to be much stronger. At times your head must rule your heart. You've got to learn said you got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served. Just show all the crowds that you're able to leave without saying a word. Got to learn to hide your sorrows. Yeah. Go on living just as before. Ain't no use of thinking of tomorrow. Just relax, who knows what it may have in store. To learn to be much stronger. Times your head must rule your heart. You've got to learn from hard experience. You've got to listen to advice. Learn to live. Learn how to give. learn to live with a deformity. When your soul's been wounded and you got to go on anyway, and you know it ain't gonna be no better day, you've got to learn to live with a broken heart.
That was Nina Simone with You've Got to Learn. How about that last bendy note with the broken heart, huh? I love it. So, maybe some people get that memo from some other source, but I hadn't, really. The truth is, I needed Nina to explain to me that although it is indeed very hard, that fundamentally what we all are doing in life is learning to live with varying degrees of brokenheartedness. And I just had to get on board. And then it made me think about this really nuanced experience of, you know, learning to live with a deformative heart, as she puts it, and how amazing it is that that can be put into song. And not only that, but how amazing it is that such a nuanced experience that feels so intensely personal can be something so clearly universal. And to me, that's a very real indication that we are indeed, on some level, sharing an experience with each other, even if we don't realize it. And I think it's a very human thing to do, to partition ourselves into groups and subgroups, because, you know, categorization is just something that we've done from the beginning of time. And whether by birth, by choice, or by circumstance, we find ourselves in these categories and groups. Take the idea of musical genre, for example. It's all just music to the aliens, but to us, we separate it into groups and categories. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying that when taken to the extreme, its shadow side, if you will, has the tendency to divide us and to cause us to isolate ourselves, sometimes until more often than not, we implicitly find ourselves walking around perceiving ourselves as isolated from the world, as completely separate entities from everything else, which obviously can have serious societal consequences. And it can also be really lonely. But the thing is, it's just not the whole truth. As invisible as it is, there remains an inseparable interplay between the individual experience and that of the collective. And in the end, turning a blind eye to the fact that we're all connected because it feels like too murky of a concept or too esoteric just ends up hurting us as a society more than it helps us. And I mean, I think it's pretty great. Ultimately, we are all fashioned from the same enigmatic stardust and all that. It's just really easy to forget sometimes. So the fact that music has that unique and rare and yet undemanding and unpushy power is truly fascinating to me, because it reminds us of this easily forgettable but very important fact. Here's a classic and a half. This is Hoagy Carmichael with Stardust, lyrics written by Mitchell Parrish, and the Kinks reminding us that though we may be strangers on the road, we are not two, we are one.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you when our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Oh, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain. Stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
There's that drum that keeps a pounding a rhythm to the brain again. That was The Kinks with Strangers from their 1970 studio album Lola vs. Power Man and the Money Ground Part 1, which yielded, of course, the hit Lola, which we all know and love, even if we don't know that we know it. But, of course, The Kinks have a huge catalog, and I've heard compelling arguments over the years that they were, in their own way, as prolific as the Beatles. So, to some of you, this may be old news, but to those of you who are unfamiliar, if you ever have a chance to peruse the Kinks archives, you've got some great new/old tunes coming to you. So, I hope I've kind of illustrated why and how I've come to think of the songs of the 1900s as immortally etched, kind of breathing historical documents that are baked into our collective pantheon of cultural material, a kind of humanist, observatory, non-denominational gospel, really, of what it means to be alive, not to mention timeless. Timeless because there are just so many common human experiences that we share, whether we are from Texas or Timbuktu, whether we're from 1964 or 2024. There are just so many important things, things like finding purpose, having faith, things like timing, ego, romance, success and failure, addiction, joy, fear, and of course, my personal favorite, love. All things that feel somehow impossible to communicate about and yet also feel like the most important things we need to say. And there are ideas that we'll be exploring and digging into on this show in an effort to strengthen this concept that there is power in getting on the same wavelength. And I know it may sound a little woo-woo to some, but it's also actually a very captivating area of scientific exploration. As a matter of fact, in neuroscience, the correlation of brain activity across two or more people sharing a particular context, such as music, is known as, you guessed it, synchrony. Yep, we are realizing slowly but surely that vibes are real. And yet, many of us may feel that neuroscience is simply beginning to verify what we have known in our hearts to be true all along. Because although it may elude definition within the constraints of the tangible, I mean, so does time, so does consciousness, so does life itself, we don't really know much in life is the truth, and a lot is out of our control. And I'm lucky, as I feel that I have a fairly high degree of ambiguity tolerance. But it's tough to think about. I get it. We don't know much. We come, we go, make a little noise, make a little love along the way, hopefully, try our best not to kill anyone, ourselves included, and then we die and we can't take it with us. In the end, that's pretty much all anyone really definitely knows about life. So the best we can do is stand witness to whatever this thing called existence is. As Jesus once put it, one should aim to wear the world like a loose-fitting garment. As Paul Simon puts it, everything put together falls apart.
Paraphernalia never hides your broken bones. And I don't know why you'd want to try. It's plain to see you're on your own. I ain't blind, no. Some folks are crazy, others walk that borderline. Watch what you're doing, taking downs to get off to sleep and ups to start you on your way. After a while, they'll change your style. See it happening every day. Ooh, spare your heart. Everything put together sooner or later falls apart. And there's nothing to it, nothing to it. You can cry and you can lie. For all the good it'll do, yeah, you can die. But when it's done, the police come and they lay you down for dead. Ooh, just remember what I said.
That was Paul Simon with Everything Put Together Falls Apart, one of my favorite songs from his first solo post-Simon and Garfunkel collection of songs, a self-titled album recorded in 1965, but not given wide release actually in the US until 1981. And one cool thing about that recording, if you listen only on headphones, right before he says that line, right after he says Everything Put Together Falls Apart, right when he says there's nothing to it, you can hear him raise his hand and scratch his cheek in the microphone, which I just think is so great. It's just this like nonchalant shrug to this hard truth that he's delivering. Also, that line, some folks are crazy and others walk that borderline. I mean, that's it, really. Like, we're crazy because life is crazy. And that's okay. Okay, enough out of me. As your host, I want you to know that I very much appreciate your time and your attention. I know they are two of the hottest commodities on the market these days, and I do not take them for granted. I hope I have left you with some peace of mind and ease to go about the rest of your day, or at the very least, one great new song. This has been Synchrony on WRAQ 92.7 FM New York. I've been and continue to be Emily Mover, and until next time, remember, no matter what happens, as old Blue Eyes himself will tell you, that's life. Bye for now.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out. And I know one thing, each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and